Hey Goombas, I am here at the local Apollo Theater in Martinsburg, West Virginia for their Apolloween event. I'll be interviewing tonight several people in correlation to tonight's activities. Here with me right now is...
Michael Knoll, and I'm president of the Apollo Civic Theater. I've been here since 1973 when we first moved in here, and started Apolloween back in... 2003, which actually started as the Haunted Theater.
So the Apolloween and the Haunted Theater has been around for better part of 12 years.
And the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is part of Apolloween, we've been doing that off and on since about the mid-80s. And, of course, back then it was all on film. Today it's...
It's live shows. And we'll be speaking with, I think, the director tonight in reference to that and the history, all about that. I know, in what is Apollo, basically Apolloween?
Well, Apolloween was, like I said, we first started out with the Haunted Theater. And then, you know, I was letting people come in to do paranormal, and we looked at that and said, okay, that's paranormal as part of Halloween. And so we did that, and then with the Rocky Horror Picture Show, we clump it all together, and it's the Apolloween. So Apolloween is comprised of the Haunted Theater, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and Paranormal Investigations. And this year, our Monster Bash at MJ Pub, which Jennifer will talk about.
Jennifer, I think she'll talk about that in a little while. I know Apolloween has changed in years past from what it was to what it is today. Are you willing to talk about those changes?
Was it
the public that changed it, or what?
Well, actually, the Apolloween or the Apollo Haunted Theater got started by actually our summer youth group. We needed to raise funds to keep the Apollo open because with our main stage productions and things that we do here, we need to raise a lot of money to keep the place operating. So we started Apolloween or the Haunted Theater in 2003 with the kids in putting the Haunted Theater together as a fundraiser. And through the years, it's changed. Jennifer came on around I guess it was about 2007, 2008, and bumped it up a notch where now what we do is we do the theater, all of our dressing rooms, our green room, and we go up to the ballroom and the third floor, which used to be vacant. We took the third floor and we actually put a maze up in the third floor, and we work on it year round. So we're always adjusting the maze. So if people come to see the show 1 year, they're going to come back the next year, and it'll be totally turned around. And then the one neat thing about this haunted house or a haunted theater that people aren't used to, this gigantic building. And I mean, when you get in there we have paranormal events that go on all the time in here, where we have ghosts that are playing tricks and stuff. And so the experience of people walking through this big building and going around corners and into all our different nicks and rooms, it's a treat in itself.
I know. I helped set up and was part of it 1 year. I know I've been coming as best I can over the past several years. I'll try to make it before the season's over with. Could you kindly tell our listeners what goes into creating a haunted house, haunted theater experience?
Well, first, what we try to do is put together a theme. You know, what each room is going to be like, and the overall theme was this year was like going on a trip on a jet airplane, and so we went to where you went in, and each room was set up as like part of a horror movie that you would watch, like each of the rooms. And of course, unlike our other haunted houses you see, we are a theater group. So of course we put a lot of acting into it, and we put a lot of our kids who perform on our stage, who actually perform up on the up in each of the rooms.
Because of this being a theater and in downtown Martinsburg, are there any limitations per city ordinances that you cannot do but would like to do in regards to the Haunted Theater?
No, pretty much we're pretty good on doing everything. Pyrotechnics you can't do much anymore because the rules have changed. But we do fog effects and smoke effects and all that type of thing. And of course, like I said, we have a lot of scares around each corner. Yeah.
And did you say you're also part of the actual Apollo Theater as well?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I'm the president. Yeah. I'm the president.
Can you also tell me a little bit about the Apollo Theater and the events that the shows that you'll be putting on for release next season?
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
we opened up
the Apollo Theater, too, if you want.
Yeah, well, that's good.
You're here. That's what we're here for, too.
So. Well, I mean, the Apollo Theater is a community center for the sort of center of Martinsburg. One of the things that when we originally purchased this building, we came in as a player group to put on productions. But of course, when we got in here, all of a sudden we were an owner of a building, and we had to do more than just put on our six performances. But like this year, we just opened with Some Enchanted Evening, which is a whole conglomeration of Rodgers and Hammerstein shows. Then in between the Haunted Theater, we didn't have the Haunted Theater last Friday night, because last Friday night we were part of the Mountain State Apple Harvest Festival, and the stage was transformed into the coronation for Queen Pomona that's held here every year in October. And then through the years, we have done concerts in here as part of the Apple Harvest Festival during that week. And then, of course, we come back up with the Haunted Theater and then the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and then we go into our youth program. We have, since 1982, we've been doing a summer youth program that takes place every summer. It's a six-week workshop where a kid can come, learn about theater, and then they end up putting on a whole show, which this past summer we put on Beauty and the Beast, complete with all the effects, smoke effects, big sets, everything. And then we started about a year and a half, 2 years ago, doing what they call junior shows. Junior shows are shows that are only an hour in length. And they're introductory shows for students who want theater, from grade 1 through 12. And what the people in New York, where we ran our shows from, have taken is they've taken shows like Aladdin and Little Mermaid, and they shrunk them from a 2.5-hour program down to 1 hour. Now, that's good for the kids, but it's also good for the people who want to bring their families to see a show, because it's 1 hour, no intermission, and we have kids that come from ages, in carriers all the way up.
I know I've seen the sign and kind of a promotion downstairs for
Mulan.
That's part of this program?
That's part of this program, and that program is actually going to, that show is actually going to be the third week of November.
I know, I think it was either earlier this year or late last year, you guys put on, you got the rights to do Spamalot here at the local theater.
Yep, we did Spamalot.
I must say, I watched it online, the big production version of it.
Uh-huh.
As a fan, I'm sure a lot of our fans who are listening are big fans of that genre, that the Monty Python aspect. I must say, for a local production, I was expecting a hell of a lot worse. And it's nothing against the Apollo Theater and the actors that did it. It's just that when, as a fan standpoint, we have such high expectations. It's, as a theater director, it's like you're coming into, okay, we have to perform at this level. We're going to probably have fans that are just as...
Oh, that know the shows as well as we do. I mean, you know, We when you do Spamalot or anything like that, where there's a following, I mean, if you don't stage it correctly,
just right.
I mean, you've got people out there that know the lines, know everything. I mean, we just last year, it took me 15 years to get the rights to it, but last year we did Les Misérables, and when we did Les Misérables, I mean, everybody knew that show. And that was a big, and that was a very big production for us to pull off, because Les Miserables was all music, you know, where most musicals are you talk, and then you go into song. Les Miserables was from the time the curtain went up, somebody was singing.
I know when I was here for Spamalot.
Uh-huh.
During the intermission, I'm hearing, I mean it in no disrespect, the theater snobs. The ones that, if this is theater, you cannot, but we're fans of this production, we know the lines, as you said, we know the lines by heart, we're singing along, we're knowing the punchline as it happens, and they're like, why are these people talking through the, you know, this production? We're fans, that's what we are, that's what we do, we're just happy to be here, being a part, having that Broadway experience without actually going to Broadway or D.C., for the evening, and it's—I think the cost is what, $15.
$15 and 12 matinee, and then students. We went from it used to be $7. We did have to raise. We did raise it to $10. So, I mean, to be able to come out to and see a show, and I mean, we spend 6 weeks. It's 6 weeks of rehearsal time, but we actually spend months on putting the show together, even before we audition people and get actors to come in and,
so
and work.
So everything goes for the production and the theater maintenance.
Oh yeah.
So
everything goes for the theater. I mean, you know, when you talk about our heating bill, it's like $14,000 a year.
I know you guys just revamped your folks. I'm saying this so you guys can come down if you're in the area to help support the Apollo Theater, to give you guys, our listeners, a better understanding of what they go through. You guys recently just upgraded your boiler system, your heating system.
Right.
And I'm sure that was a major expense for the theater. So I'm not ending the interview. I'm just saying, guys, come down. If you see something, a production you want to see or interested in, come on down.
Well,
enjoy the production.
Enjoy the production. I mean, a lot of things is, and if anybody wants to come and help us with any of the shows or come down and volunteer to help us promote the theater like you're doing with this podcast. I mean, that's one of our biggest things is trying to get the word out to people and say, hey, we're here, and come in and see our shows. Not every show will a person know, because you only have so many Sound of Musics and King's Eye and things like that you can do. And so there's a lot of people don't know that, like, for instance, our Christmas show this year is going to be Dashing Through the Snow, which is a comedy, and it's interesting for adults. It's more of an adult theme. It's not like the Christmas Carol and that. And then
Miracle on 34th Street, which is pretty much spans all ages.
Right. And then something else we're doing this year after the in between the two weekends of Dashing Through the Snow, we've just recently started formed an orchestra here, a jazz orchestra. So the Apollo Jazz Orchestra is going to perform for the first time on December 17th at a Christmas concert, which is a Thursday night in between our Dashing Through the Snows. And then you go into Our Town, which a lot of people remember Our Town, a classic movie and play. And then we went into to Dogfight, and then Bingo the Musical.
And to go back to Apolloween for a second, when does Apolloween usually start?
It usually starts the second week of October. And runs on the weekends, Fridays and Saturdays, and runs through to the end of October. Now this year we're going to end it like next Friday, because on Saturday night we're going to have our Monkster Bash at MJ Pub, and then of course everybody will come back here after that for the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which goes up at midnight.
So I know in past years it started roughly like you said, the second week of October, and if that last week ends like right on November 1st, you've done that as well.
We've done that before,
so
well, right.
It's usually that last week in October, which weekend, if it runs into November 1st, it does so. It's like if Friday was the 31st and November 1st was that Saturday, you'd run into November. So,
exactly.
Again, I wish everybody who hears this, if you're in the Martinsburg area, and if the Apollo Theater is putting on, it's mostly the weekends at...
Mostly the weekends. We run, when we do a show, it's always six performances. Runs Friday and Saturday nights at 8 o'clock, and on Sunday afternoon at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Side question, what are the problems that you find trying to get things for plays or for the Apollo Theater?
Well, the biggest thing is trying to get plays. There's two things that you look at when you're picking a play. First of all, we're an amateur group, and we do this because people want a recreational activity to come out and perform. So you've got the performance you've got to think about. And the performers like to do interesting shows, and they don't want to do the same show over and over the old classics that are done a lot. And so you have to balance that against what your public wants to see. And a lot of times we tell the public, hey, take a chance on theater. If you don't know the show, come and find out about it. You know, the only way you learn, I mean, it's like when Oklahoma hit Boston, they had trouble getting it up on getting it to Broadway because they had to come up with this big number in Oklahoma, but nobody knew Oklahoma before then. So we tell people, if you don't know a play, come to theater to experience theater and do that. And then again, the other thing we do with picking shows, when we're putting the season together, we throw in a couple favorites so that the audience...
You try to do popular, well-known theater productions like Oklahoma or, granted, I'm just choosing King and I or Wizard of Oz, amongst local plays or regional plays, so people have that mix, or...
Or plays that aren't would be known by the theater, what I call theater geeks, that keep track of what's going up on Broadway and all the shows, but aren't your shows that would necessarily have been on TV that they know, you know, like the Dogfight and those type of things, because they're popular shows. I mean, if you I listen to Sirius XM. And, you know, they're playing Dogfight on that, but it's not a popular show that people know about.
So is it still that aspect of we want, as a theater director, we want people in with something that's knowledgeable that a lot of those who might not be theater geeks that people know, like maybe Spamalot or King and I or in Oklahoma, then, or a Hairspray per se. I know you guys did that.
Yeah, Hairspray, right.
To bring in the public to say, hey, we're here, we're doing this, and some of the lower, lesser-known stuff for the theater geeks, or is it...
Well, it's for the theater and also to experience people to theater. And we hope that when we get them here with a popular show like Rodgers and Hammerstein show, that they go and look at our season and say, hey, we need to come back to see a Dogfight or that sort of thing.
And again, this... Where can we find the Apollo Theater on... Online,
well, you can go to our website. It's www.apollocivictheatre, and theater is spelled theatre, .org.
And you're also found on Facebook as well?
Yep, we're on Facebook.
Same thing goes for Apolloween, which is Apolloween, apollowen.com. And it's also on Facebook as well?
Right. And when you go there, we've tied the links, we've tied our websites together so you can flip back and forth between the websites. And something new this year that we've done, that we just started in March, is we have online ticketing. So, you know, now people don't have to wait to come and buy their ticket at the theater or worry about when they can buy their tickets, so they have them beforehand. They can go online and buy them.
And the online tickets are still available at the door.
And tickets are always available at the door, yes.
So, again, folks, I want to thank Michael here for speaking with us about the Apollo Theater, promoting the Apollo Theater. We're big supporters of the Apollo Theater here and what they put on a yearly basis. Granted, we've only been to one show in the past several years we've been here. We wish them the best of luck in their performances that they put on. We wish them the atypical theater way, break a leg.
Yep.
So it's nice. It's
great to have you here. Yeah, thank you.
Well, when this episode, when this episode's dropped, we'll at least give Jennifer a lines and help pass the link on to you, or when we see you next,
okay,
we'll give you the link to the show when it drops.
Okay, super. Thank you.
Audacity. There we go. Hi, Goombas. We're back with
Jessica,
and she's the director
of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes. Not the movie.
No, the Shadow Cast.
The Shadow Cast, which explain for those who never been to an event like this, please explain it.
Like the Shadow Cast?
The Shadow Cast.
The movie being played on a big screen, kind of like when you go to a movie theater, and instead of being pitch black dark, you get to see each of the characters come to life, portrayed by a person. And we mimic everything the movie is doing right in front of the screen, so we're kind of like 3D-ing you at the same time. And we have each character is in its own person, and we follow everything that the movie does. And we also have like the live action play along. You get goodie bags and you get to throw certain things like toast and a certain thing, stuff like that.
That's what's going to be my next question. What goes on at one of these?
Okay.
I went to one, I think it was a little more than 3 years ago, and I picked up the goodie bag, which entitles you with a bag of popcorn,
right.
And it's my first live, I came to say, pretty much say, what the hell's, you know, what, again, this, we're on set, what the fuck is a live thing? I have to experience this for myself at least once, and knowing my friends, did you say no homo?
Oh.
It's like, I pretty much want to walk in. No homo.
Well, here's the thing. Everything is homo. When you come here, you just have to...
We're not saying it in a descriptive
way.
Like,
of course.
They, a lot of people, it's that stigmata for Rocky Horror Picture Show that it's... There's a lot of gay overtones.
Oh, sure.
So it's like, did you see, it's more female based than for guys.
Well, actually, let me tell you, a lot of the Rocky people, and I say that as a general census, there is Rocky people. They live, breathe, love the show. It's a cultural, habitual thing that people watch this every single day of their lives. And I've actually been doing this for 4 years. I co-directed it, and I was also starring in it. And this year, I'm directing it, and I'm also starring in it.
So is there a lot to live up to?
It's a thing where it's like, I was telling my cast the other day, and I was like, it's a weird thing to put myself, yes, I can be on the stage, but I also have to be directing at the same time, like, hey guys, do this, do that, and I'm like, it's overwhelming, for sure, but it's actually like, the Rocky people, they're more loving, caring, they don't care if you're blue, purple, green, gay, nothing, like, they are such a great group of people, not just my cast, just the people who watch it. They will accept you, every single part of you. Like, it's just, every time I come in here, I don't know these people, but they'll be like, oh my god, hey, you're so great, like, hey, we should hang out sometime. Like, I am so, like, I have people recognize me outside of here. Like, I'll be walking in Walmart, and they'll be like, oh my god, were you in Rocky? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I love you, I can't wait to see you again.
Yeah, like I was saying, my first experience at this live event, it was, I think, 2010, and I just got laid off of work.
Right.
And here I am, a broke-ass person. I picked up the goodie bag, and they're like, okay, here's, you know, you get newspaper, you get popcorn, you get toilet paper, you get rice.
Yeah.
And here I am, you know, on unemployment, and you're like, well, you're supposed to throw that. This is food. And this is a perfectly good roll of toilet paper.
We joke around.
I can use this.
We joke around. Be like, if you want to take it home for the cleanup, go right ahead.
I paid $5 for this. I'm hungry. I'm a fat boy.
There's people who actually eat it.
I'm like, dig handfuls in. I'm like, you're supposed to. You're totally confused. You know, the odd man out.
Oh yeah.
And like, what? You're supposed to throw this? Yeah, and you have the diehard geeks that are part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're supposed to throw it, not eat it.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm broke. I paid good money. Granted, I'm unemployment, but I'm a cheap ass too. I need good money for this. Now, what are you going to tell me? I got to toss the toilet? Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Nailed it!
The only thing you don't throw is the newspaper. It's so sad. Like, my first year experiencing it, I got, like, pulled in the head with a piece of toast. It's scary, but it's funny at the same time.
And I could almost understand how you're going through. Because of our recording, what we just dropped, maybe, depending on when we decide to drop this, you'll be provided with the link, of course. We did our first panel at a local horror show.
Okay.
Pertaining to The Crow.
Yes, yes.
And it's one of those many movies that has a high cult following. Like, I won't say as big as Rocky Horror, but they're...
Most movies in that generation are cultural followings. So, yeah. Yes,
and
definitely.
And you have that high level, and like, here I am speaking with... My co-panelist was Rochelle Davis, wonderful actress. She played little Sarah in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And here I am, you know, speaking with her, dealing... Now, in my mindset, yeah, I can interview someone you're else. No problem. Here I am.
Next to a celebrity.
Quasi-celebrity who was in a big movie with people even more of a celebrity than she is.
Right.
Everything, and this is a big following. Granted, it's not as big as Rocky Horror Picture Show or Star Wars or Star Trek, but still, I have to live up to the expectation of the fans.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I'm going to get backlash. I personally don't care. But still, it's that whole aspect of, you didn't ask this.
Right, right.
But in what I posted, at least when I shared the link, is I was only given 2 days to prep for this. And I might have been a fan of the original Crow, but I've never seen the sequels. I know little. I have to 2 days of prep, go to work, do all this, run the show, promote what I just dropped maybe a few days prior. And now I have to deal with the fans.
Right.
You know, and like you have to deal, is it going to be as good as the fans think it is?
Are you, am I going to live up to expectations?
Like, if you've seen 8 Mile, that whole aspect.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just standing in the sink, just, I gotta breathe. And I've told people after the fact, it's like, it was like afterwards, like a train, like after an accident, I'm in shock. Finally, my knees are, weak, I'm just like, it's over, thank God, the pressure's gone. And my friend, who's also a co-host, for the fans who constantly listen, he goes by the name Big Candy on the show, he was my, you're doing good, you did well.
Your soundboard.
He was the soundboard, being honest, and I know one of my friends, if he was there, he'd be in the back with him, going, you suck.
Oh, yeah, no.
Just be the what he said is, like, the friendly heckler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just so he could break the tension for me, like, you suck. Me just reply, shut up, Dad. Go home, Dad, you drunk. Told you to wait in the truck.
The thing is about, living up to expectations of the fans.
Speaking of that, because we're on that subject, have you had haters come up to you and, kind of bash what you've done?
No. The only time I've ever really had, an issue was, I had a lady come up to me, and she was like, you make me so angry. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, this was after the show, and I was, scared to death. This was actually my second year doing this. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, she's like, why are you so goddamn beautiful? And I was like, thank you. And she's like, you don't understand. She's like, when I go to these shows, she's like, we're not here to judge you. They're more than proud of us getting half naked on stage, doing all that. I've never had anyone heckle me, not once. Never have I ever had any backlash. Like I told you, I get recognized for it, and so do my cast. I've never heard of a hater. Neither has my people. It's a time where Rocky people are just here to have fun. They don't have time to hate on people.
That being said, my first experience ever with the movie and a shadow cast was 5 years ago,
right.
In 2010. And seeing what Rocky Horror is and, what mm-hmm. is on screen, what you guys do on stage, and as you said, being half naked, was that a worry for you? Like, I'm going to be half naked on stage
yes.
in front of all these people?
Because my mom and my stepfather, they work for the sheriff's department. So, it was definitely, like, sitting my mom down and, like, back in high school when he had to sit down and be like, hey, Mom, I'm a thespian. You know what a thespian is. It's the drama.
The theater geek.
Yes, exactly. And so I was like, Mom, I'm a thespian. And she's like, what? I was like, a thespian, and she's like...
Did you get that aspect?
Yeah.
Is that a lesbian?
Yeah, she's like, what are you trying to tell me? I was like, Mom, I love theater, and she's like, isn't that a better word for this? And so I had to do the same thing, kind of sitting her down, because she actually took me to my first Rocky show, because they would, like, help detail and, like, do security for it and stuff. And I was about 15, and she took me, and it was... I was definitely like, what the hell? Like, what the hell? Because I wasn't necessarily sheltered, but I didn't... understand any of that.
You know, at the time that, you know, I'm at the...
15?
I was 35. I was going, what the fuck is going on here?
Yes.
The
yes.
hell? I'm supposed to throw this? No!
I know! It's scary, but actually, like, I told my mom, and my mom's like, well, you are my child. I'm not surprised. So, definitely, like, I was scared to death, because in the very beginning of the show,
They pull up all the new people who...
Yeah, well, that's actually for Time Warp. What you're going to see, I don't know if you're staying for the show, I do since I am magenta, I do a little bit of a sexy dance, and I'm doing air quotes because I don't know how sexy I do, but I do a little bit of a sexy dance. So the first year I ever did that, there was a black box, like, in front of the stage, and I didn't know, because it's dark, I can't see. And I go off, and I'm like, hey, shaking my thing, and I didn't realize that it was there, and I went, boom, and I... like, flew right into it, and I fell over, and I landed on my side like you would as on a piano, like, laying on the side. I fell, and I'm like...
You just rolled
I did, I was like, hey, don't mind me. So, yeah, and they just cheered me on. They were like, go, like, it's fine. Like, somebody actually got up and helped me pick me up and put me back on the stage, like, let's do this.
I know, the year that I went, they kept all the ladies on stage. The lady. And one thing, the guy went down the line asking them with the mic, you know, in essence, fake it. Give us your best.
The orgasms?
And one of the girls that was there went, no. Literally. Not that she didn't want to do it. She was there to have a good time. She went, no. And he went, why? And she points directly to someone known, my dad's sitting right there.
Yay.
And it's like, oh, that's almost worth the ticket price right there.
Yeah, I had my dad, because he doesn't know, because where Rocky is, and I invited my dad up last year. I was like, Dad, come on, he lives in Virginia, and I was like, come up and see it, my show, and he was like, alright. He also saw me in Rent, so I'm sure you know Rent. It's a cultural thing, too.
It's one of those that I know of Rent, but I haven't seen...
It's basically Rent. About, like, you know, the AIDS epidemic back in the 80s, 90s, yeah. Stuff like that. And I was, like, a ensemble piece, so I was, like, playing lesbian, a coke addict, everything. And my dad was the first show my dad ever saw me in, and he was like, okay, so that's cool. So he wasn't, like, thinking anything of it, so he hasn't seen me, and I'm, like, half naked on stage in a corset and some underwear, and he's like, all right, like, you should have seen his face, like...
You said you're the director this year. What problems as a director have you?
Oh God!
have you come across?
There was a lot of, like, because it is all volunteer. It's not like we're getting paid to do this. And, you know, honestly, I don't think any of them would take the money because they love it. I had a girl who plays my Janet this year. She has been begging me to do it because she wasn't old enough yet. And she was like, please, 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 please. And eventually I was like, okay, you're old enough. And I swear, the dedication out of that girl is great. But some of my other cast just decides, like, 2 weeks ago, they're like, I can't do it. I'm sorry. Like... I work and having to find the time between work and getting theater time and dealing with everything. It's just, it's a bit of a pain.
Is this your first year directing?
Sort of, yeah. It's the first time that it's just me making the decisions, whereas our Frank this year was our director 3 years in a row. It's my first year directing by myself. I kind of, like, co-directed. I helped him throughout the thing because he wanted me to help him anyway. And this year they were like, he's like, I ain't doing it anymore. You do it. And I'm like, okay.
Because my next question was, as most, I'm sure, first-time directors, you get the aspect of the diva syndrome, of, you know, even with some conventions, you kind of see that with people first starting out who don't know how to do it, that you diva comes out because they want to take advantage of...
Do you mean to tell you what the best thing about Rocky
is? Go ahead.
You can say, shut the fuck up and go on with it. Because, honestly, that's the best thing. Because Rocky... I'm got time for your bullshit. Let's do this. Like, we get to cuss, we get to yell. We want them to basically dry raid at each other. So it's a time like where I've had like a couple headbutts, and I'm like, you know what? Shut the hell up. It's not like a normal show. So it's like, shut the hell up. Put your corset on and let's do this.
Do you think this year being, I think it's the 40th anniversary of
Rocky Horror.
Is there bigger pressure? This year, it's the anniversary year of it.
I'm so nervous. Like, I was talking to my cast, and I was like, well, of course I choose the year that, you know, it's 40 years, and people are going to really, like, there's already a line out there of at least 30 people. And it's, what time is it? It's like
11:06 right now.
Yeah.
So.
And I actually have to hurry up and get down there and get changed. Yeah. But no, it's a thing. Like, they will line up.
Then I'll probably make this the last question
before
you leave. What is the, for those who are not fans of Rocky Horror, what is the allure of this fan base, this geekdom? What is that?
One of the biggest things about this, about Rocky, and anyone will tell you,
is the sex.
Thank you, Andrew. basically, one of the biggest things about this is it brings you out of your element. You're not worrying about what other people think. You are here to experience a part of yourself that you don't even know that's there. Like, there's a lot of people who, like, come in here and they're like, oh, they're really shy and they don't know. And I'm like, if I see a face, like, where you're just, like, sinking away from me, I'm coming after you. And you're getting up on that stage. Because... one of the biggest things about theater, not just Rocky in general, is going out of your element and kind of like Andrew here, he shaved his body completely last year just so he can enjoy the show and wear a dress. Like, that's how dedicated people are. They will shave their entire body. They will he's still growing back. Like,
the gentleman, he said it. You are?
Andrew.
Yeah, he just, when he pulled up his leg, there's like fishnet stockings underneath his pants.
He's the greatest.
So.
Do you see a little bucket around here anywhere?
Mm-mm. But anyway, yeah, so it's one of those things that's like, I definitely would recommend people who haven't seen it to come see it or even watch the movie, because honestly, it's one of those things that change your life.
And you put this on, you help put this on locally every October.
Yes, yes. This has been my fourth year of doing it. I was really excited because I didn't think, like, the first year doing it, I was like, oh, this is just going to be a one-time thing. Like, oh, it's fine. It's been, like, almost a part of my life.
And that'd be the case, because you got to get going and get prepped. I'll let you
go
and get prepped. I thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, yeah.
Again, our fans will probably have Jennifer come up and talk about the paranormal and what she's doing. Again, our fans, if you're in the Martinsburg area or the Martinsburg, Winchester, Hagerstown area, and they don't have this going on, if you miss it this year, it's always in October. Come down and check it out. I'm not sure when this episode is going to be dropped, but when it is, I'll pass the link on to Ms. Jennifer. And is there any particular links that you would like posted in our show notes?
She'll tell you the Apolloween stuff. But that's, and if anyone's interested in like auditioning for it next year or anything like that, they can get my information
from the Apolloween website.
Yes, I'll put my information.
I usually put that.
Because it's always a good to reach out that way, because it's not always easy to having to last minute posts and stuff. Because there isn't really a way to get auditions.
Fans,
and stuff.
If you have an event like this near you, support your local theater and come down and see it and enjoy the show.
Thank you again. You're welcome.
Hi, folks. Again, we're this our third part of our Triple Threat interview for Apolloween and our Apollo Theater interviews. I'm here with
Jennifer Roberts,
and who's in past part of Halloween. She's always in some way a part of the Apolloween festivities, whether or not. We have a lot of the Rocky Horror people coming up and doing their thing. which is very...
Oh, okay. No, you're fine, sweetie.
And Jennifer is here to speak to us about Monster Bash.
Yeah, I'm actually the producer of Apolloween, which means I manage the sub-directors, the Haunted Theater, the Paranormal Investigations, the Monster Bash, as well as Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I'm sure you've already spoken with the other entities, so I'll represent the Paranormal Investigations and the Monster Bash this evening.
So, this is the first time the Monster Bash is happening. What is the Monster Bash going to be?
The Monster Bash is just a costume party. It'll be held at MJ's Pub in Martinsburg. Sorry, been a long night.
Because I've been talking to friends about where is MJ's Pub? Is that the pub near Dirty Dogs? Or
yes, it's actually on the other side of the street of Dirty Dogs, and we're going to open at 8:00. We will let people in that are 18 years old. Of course, they cannot drink, but they must have an ID. 21 and over, of course, with ID, will be able to drink. It'll just be like any other costume party. We're going to have costume prizes. We'll have door prizes.
So it's kind of an after party, costume party, kind of all mixed in.
Yeah, it's just a regular party. I mean, it's a fundraiser. Normally, we have other fundraising events. We've started to try to do something different for our fourth event. In previous years, we had Trick or Treat. We've done other types of fourth event fundraising for the Apolloween to satisfy that fourth event. But MJ's Pub decided that they were going to sponsor their place. And great, let's have a big, giant costume party.
So they stepped up and...
Correct, yes. They graciously donated their space. We're going to have the hearse out there. And like I said, we'll have prizes. There'll be door prizes handed out. We're going to have, actually, a free gift for each person that attends. We'll be handing them out at the door. I'm not going to tell you what it is unless you show up. And they'll have themed drinks there. Come dressed in your scariest costume. We'll have costume prizes.
Is there a cost for this event?
Yes, it's $15. All proceeds benefit the Apollo Civic Theater.
Again, either way, folks, when you hear this, support your local Apollo Theater if you don't live in Martinsburg. If you live in the Martinsburg area, Winchester area, Hagerstown, anyway, come down to the Apollo Theater. Support the Apollo Theater. You also said you're part of the Paranormal Investigation... I won't say the investigation team, because that's...
I used to do Paranormal Investigations myself, but most of my free time, 7 months of the year, is actually spent trying to raise funds for the Apollo Civic Theater. I do their marketing, their website, and everything, so I'm too busy to be out there investigating. But what we do is we actually do paranormal rentals, and during the month of October, which is a special time, we do... certain nights of the month of October where you can actually come in outside of a group and investigate individually the different floors of the Apollo.
On your own, so in essence, you could be an amateur...
Correct.
...paranormal investigator, so for those who've seen, Ghost Hunters...
Correct, yep.
Haunted Hotel, where they do all
American Haunting, everything.
Name it, toss a dart or a dartboard.
And we do rent it out... on a regular basis to people that want to privately come. And you don't have to be a ghost hunter. You just want to go through the theater. We rent it out in groups of 25. Minimum is $250. And then every person over that 10-person limit is an additional $25. And that's outside the Halloween season. When we do it during the Halloween season, it's only $25 a person. But we do limit it to 25 each night.
Is there a big reaction to that? Have you seen... big response to the paranormal investigations during Apolloween?
We have several people that come. We get more rentals for private parties than we do for individual folks, and I think it's because they're really scared and they're unsure. There's been a lot of stories about the Apollo over the years, and people are really nervous. I mean, they were filming Gods and Generals here, and one of the cast and crew happened to be in the bathroom at the time, and one of the apparitions manifested half of himself, and so there's been a lot of things that have happened.
So that actually happened here?
Yes, it did.
I know I was here a few years ago when I think you were on the that particular broadcast as well, Maze TV, when they did their little ghost investigation
too.
And I don't know if you were part of that ghost investigation, but
normally I don't. I'm getting too old for this stuff. Normally I'm not up that late. Harris Hedges is actually my person. I now have lead up the paranormal investigations. Unless I'm requested to be here, I won't actually be here for that.
Granted, again, this was a few years ago.
Yes, a few years ago.
And at that point, we were in the green room. Mm-hmm. It was one of the downstairs.
Correct. It's down there, yeah, stage
it
right.
It was the green room, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And they said, all right, they had a white noise meter, which scans.
Correct.
Radio, mm-hmm. and any apparition that happens to be in the room can do a live EVP, I guess it is. And they told the people in attendance, if you feel something, if you get any type of reaction, let us know.
Right.
And at that point, the lights are out, small little flashlight where they are, and my experience was, like, I felt something behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think somebody's, behind me on my left, and I'm the last guy in line anyway. And everybody's giving me that look like, yeah, right. Sure you are. Sure, you're just saying this. And all of a sudden, across that little white noise machine, clear as day, yes, there is.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just looks at this box like, what?
Yeah, we've had several paranormal groups out here, radio stations, TV. Matter of fact, we have WHAG will be coming out here next Saturday to film an investigation. We've had TV shows, several people come out here, and it's just, I've been here 7 years, and things happen all the time. It's just, you can't explain them. Everybody has a different experience here, so it's definitely haunted. I can speak for that.
I know when I tried to do it, I think it was last year or the year before. I think last year was the first year you did it. Paranormal investigations?
No, we've been doing it for 7 years. It's just we didn't actually advertise that we were doing it. So
I think last year was the first time it was
Last year was the first time that we opened it as part of Apolloween. Prior to that, we've always had private paranormal investigations.
I guess that was just a miscommunication with the question. Last year was the first open for Apolloween.
Correct,
I did it, and it was just me with a camera and a phone, and trying to record everything with my phone, and when I tried to play it back, my phone wouldn't play any of it because the files were too big. Hopefully, by the time everything is set up with what we're doing here with the show, maybe next year we'll come in with the equipment and set the equipment up and do our own paranormal investigation. We'll hope to team up with you guys next year,
mm-hmm.
and have, an event, and if there are any people within our group, we'll kind of like, you're with us, pay your $25, it is $25 fee.
Yes, correct. This is all fundraising, again, for the Apollo. Apolloween's our biggest fundraising event during the year, so, the paranormal investigations, even the outside, private paranormal, everything is going towards funds to keep the roof on this theater, so we don't get, everybody's like, oh, you get grants, those type of things. They've cut back on grants over the years. So we had to come up with ways to make more money. So paranormal is the big thing right now. Why not go ahead and try to see what we can bring in? And a lot of places you go to charge $50 to $75, so we're reasonable compared to them, only charging $25.
And that's why we at the show are happy to at least get the word out about the Apollo Theater and get people in, especially with it being October. Apolloween,
mm-hmm.
Apollo Haunted Theater. That way, at least the word's getting out some way, somehow, about the Apollo Theater.
And they can go to apolloween.com all year long. They can always contact us here at the Haunted Theater for the paranormal investigations. They can actually go to the Apollo website. They can email us through the website or, again, through apolloween.com and get information
and
about the paranormal investigations.
As we probably said before with the previous interviews, we'll put the links in our show description.
Okay, great.
When the show drops, you'll probably get a link to the show. I don't mean to cut this short because we got production time.
Yeah, we're getting ready to do the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Rocky Horror. I'll probably, because I don't have our equipment plugged in, I'll probably go outside and do people on the street interview.
Oh, great. I'm sure they'll be fascinating.
I'll give you the link to this episode when it drops. Because of what we did last week,
mm-hmm.
we have a crap ton of content that we have to.
Oh, I understand.
So,
no problem.
It's a pleasure having you on the show.
Good seeing you again.
And I have your proper email this time.
Yes.
I don't know what happened last time, honestly.
It was probably the ghost.
Probably, if not, I'll blame AOL.
Well, that's perfectly fine.
AOL is AOL. So, again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
We have loads of great stuff to give our listeners.
All right.
And before I forget, I'll let Jennifer go.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. And as always, before we do the person on the street to get the fan perspective of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, like to say, if you have any response to us, you could find us. I don't want to say find us. You can always email us at the Long Coat Mafia. Not the Long Coat. Again, I am screwing up so bad. It's been a long week for us here at the show. Our email is longcoatmafia. Well, it's going to be all one word. longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Our website is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. Our Twitter is longcoatmafia. Our Instagram is Longcoat Mafia. All this will be in our show notes. So either way, you could always find us. You're more than welcome to email us. And I'm going to pause this right here. And we'll go out to bring our equipment down, on our satchel down, and get a couple of fan stuff on the street. So let's do that, shall we? Let me pause this, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Hey guys, I'm in line speaking to a couple of audience members about to go inside for the Rocky Horror Live Shadowcast show. What do you guys expect for the? Is this all your first time or?
Oh no, this is our third year.
Third year doing this?
Third or fourth? Well, it was one year we showed up and they had no sound and we left halfway through. So does that count?
This is our fourth attempt. We'll put it that way.
Okay, fourth attempt.
So, what do you guys usually expect from an event like this? Coming to...
Yelling, rice being thrown, toast up in the air.
Assholes and sluts and...
Asshole slut, yeah, that's an important one. Just lots of chaos and amusement for all boys and girls of every age.
For someone who might not come to these that often or at all, are they easily spotted or can you... as a geek myself, we could smell the new guys from a mile away.
Well, they're usually pretty good about announcing themselves.
Yeah, usually.
Because they're usually like, what am I going to get into? What have you got me into?
And then the virgins, if you will, is what they are called, are usually humiliated in some systematic ritual to, appease the Dark Lord Satan.
Yes, you heard it here on the...
Wait, is this going on the internet? Because we've got a podcast that we want to plug.
Promote it well.
All right, listen to the Bangers and Mash show on YouTube. That's the Bangers. That's the word Bangers. It's the letter N. That's the word Mash. That's the word show on YouTube. Look us up, please. Thank you very much.
We also have Facebook.
Yes, we're on Facebook as well.
And we're on our show. Happy to have you guys on our show.
That's amazing. Thank you.
We'll give you a flyer as soon as we have the ability to...
Thank you.
Set something down.
Cool.
Anybody else want to, share their experiences with a show like this?
Well, he's a virgin, so...
We're going to...
Yes.
You're a virgin. What do you expect from a show like this?
Chaos, humility. I can't wait. This is going to be fun.
They're going to tear you to shreds. You know that, right?
Oh, I understand it. I can't wait.
Who are you with?
These two...
Sister and her boyfriend.
And are you going to rip him for how long after this whole thing? He is wearing, looks like, lipstick.
Oh, he's got full makeup on there. Yeah.
So are you going to let him lift this down?
Fishnets.
I mean, last year was my first year, and it wasn't that bad, so.
I've been doing it for a while, so.
And you being his sister, are you going to let, how long are you going to let him live this down?
I don't know, he came into it pretty willingly with the lace and the fishnet, so I mean.
And what does that say about you, sir?
I'm proud of myself. I love you for myself. What else can you do?
We have to rip you around here.
Yeah.
I think that's
part of... He's going to go through the whole virgin ritual, that is for sure.
So that's probably the standard aspect of... hazing.
Yes.
So we're doing this out of the kindness of our hearts. I might not be a big fan, but I understand that the virgin hazing, so to speak, which is all tongue in cheek and for fun. It's not
to be serious. It's just for
fun and laughs. If you can't if you can't take it,
then don't come. Exactly.
I've been through this once before. It's been on the show, our experiences. Is this more so for an individual or for a couple like yourselves?
I've came individually and I've came as a couple, and I knew it was kind of fun both ways. I think he enjoyed it coming as a couple. It was
first experience last year, and so yeah. Totally different out of the ordinary, you know.
Considering I'm not one to dress up, so yeah. I'm here in all street clothes.
We're pretty typically conservative. It's not something to walk around.
Well, you're talking to a man wearing a trench coat right now. So, but then again, that's part of our show here. So after all this, those I've speaking to, including yourselves, will give you a show flyer.
That's
so
awesome.
That way you know where to find us. This episode will probably be dropped in a few weeks. You'll still be able to find us. So keep an eye out. We were at a convention last week, our show, our time. So we have a lot of obligations to fulfill. Yeah, so it's not against it. It's kind of odd when you were near a theater and we have cast of people walking by in costume, and someone looks like she wandered in out of the cast of Gem and the Hologram. So it's a treat tonight. It's an
seems like there's some Halloween parties going on.
Yeah, welcome to October, folks.
Right?
So another question, what is the lore, since you are a fan of Rocky Horror, what is the lore of this, of coming, being part of this event and the movie itself?
You get to experience your sexuality on a different level and just get to yell and scream and do things you wouldn't normally do in a theater with a live cast. So, it's a totally different mocking experience that you don't get to do at a normal show.
So, again, thank you for your time and your interview. And
thank you.
Again, thanks to the gentleman. It's the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. I'll give you the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. We're a geek cast, local geek cast. So we'll give you... This is the gentleman we were speaking to earlier. He's wearing a very large, interesting hat and a leather coat. What is your experience with... what's the lore of this?
The allure.
The interest of this type of movie and the fandom.
I was exposed to Rocky Horror as a very young child. My father exposed me to Rocky Horror when I was about 10 years old. And it forever warped my perception of the world and my understanding of the universe. So, therefore, it's a part of my life from a very young age. And the appeal there, just being able to revisit that...
We know you're here! I can smell you!
...specific time and place. And also, as just a fan of sci-fi and horror, I appreciate sort of the campy reflectiveness of, like, the films from the 40s and the 50s and stuff like that, so...
Oh, that's... the B-movie genre is always...
That's what our show's about, so...
We just had a panel at a local show in reference to The Crow, so it's... So we had... We're dealing with a different set of fans in reference to like this. We get to speak to you fans differently.
Is this podcast like a cult movie podcast?
We're going to cut it off here. We had two great interviews. We're already about 50 an hour into this. We wish everybody here who's part of it the best of luck, break a leg, so forth and so on. We'll kill it here.